Federal agencies are under orders to configure their email systems to the Domain Message Authentication and Reporting Conformance, or DMARC, standard. It's a strategy for ensuring incoming mail is coming from who it says it's from. Agencies are making progress, but the federal contractor community is a little bit behind. Joining me in studio with more, Phil Reitinger, President and CEO of the Global Cyber Alliance. Phil, good to have you in.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
So the Global Cyber Alliance looked at DMARC implementations in federal contractors, and what did you find?
Well, we found that unlike a lot of other places, DMARC is a place where governments are often leading the way. The federal government has now reached the point where about three-quarters of its sites are protected by DMARC. The federal contractor and the information security community is pretty far behind that. We found that of the top 50 contractors, only one of the 50 had employed DMARC at its highest level, which is called P is equal to reject. And another one had employed DMARC at one level below. So you have to be at one of those top two levels to actually block phishing emails. And so that was two out of 50, or a very small percentage. The federal government is doing much better than that.
So given the amount of contracting, and it's billions and billions that these companies do, these top 50 companies do, they do probably 80% of all contracting, then they could be subject to a phishing expedition, say, that looks like it's coming from the government, say a contracting officer looking for more information, or it could be the opposite way. They could try to get information from the government.
It's a great example. You know, bad guys, fishers, don't stop when they hit a border. They're always going to try to get in some way. You know, you saw Target was allegedly compromised through a third-party vendor. Well, if you want to get into the government and the government's got strong information security, why not spoof an email from a federal contractor, a person who may run your IT systems or do something with regard to your information security, and get in that way, fool somebody inside the government by thinking they're talking to some entity that they normally work with, and instead they're getting phished and conceivably getting compromised.
And who is the contractor that has the highest level installed?
Ingility.
They won't be receiving or sending any phishing emails, it sounds like. Let's back up for a moment and just briefly explain how DMARC works. It's not a product you buy. It's DMARC.com, but it's a set of standards, correct?
That's correct. It's not even software that you have to install. You just have to configure your systems to use DMARC. DMARC needs to be deployed on both an email sender and an email recipient. The good news is that if you're a consumer, you probably already have DMARC. All of the big webmail providers like Microsoft and Google and Yahoo have already deployed DMARC to help protect you. So over 85% of consumer inboxes in the United States and around the world are now protected by DMARC. The challenge is getting the people who are sending email to those consumers and sending email amongst themselves to deploy DMARC, which is why the U.S. federal government in October of last year, 2017, required all non-national security systems to deploy DMARC. The UK government did it about a year before that. So what you have to do on the sending end is you essentially have to identify who's allowed to send email on your behalf, and then you have to change some publicly available records to reflect that. So there's got to be some work done to figure out how you're sending mail, where your mail servers are, if you have any third parties like Salesforce or an email marketing company that send email on your behalf, and then you just set it up. And once you set it up, it operates end-to-end. As I said, there's not really any software that you normally need to install.
We're speaking with Phil Reitinger, President and CEO of the Global Cyber Alliance. So it's a matter of systems configuration, in other words, and not so much buying a product and having to worry about all that.
That's exactly right. And then the way it works is when you send an email, you will essentially identify, or those records that you've created will identify who's allowed to send email. And at the far end, the email recipient, the service that you've got to check your email, will check to make sure that the email actually came from one of those authorized mail servers and that it hasn't been altered in some way. And if either of those checks fails, then the email server recipient knows it's been a spoofed email, it's a fake email, and you can just send it to trash or mark it as spam or whatever the sender directs.
And how long does it take to set up your systems to do that? Is it weeks and weeks of effort? Is it 2 hours? I mean, what does it take?
It depends on how complicated your corporation is. End users just get it when they use webmail. A small business could set it up relatively quickly. You would start off by setting DMARC at the lowest setting just to make sure that you've identified everyone who sends email. And the actual effort to get it done is really small. For larger corporations, it can be a matter of months because it's really important that they not have their email marked as trash. So they want to go through a fairly extensive process. And it turns out that a lot of big companies have very complicated email systems with perhaps hundreds of servers and tens of third parties who send email on their behalf. So that's a bigger challenge.
So the same challenge would apply to the large multi-bureau federal agencies too?
Yes, that's quite true. Although I think federal agencies normally have a more simple email setup than a lot of large companies do. In particular, it's less common for federal agencies to use third parties to send email on their behalf.
But what about cloud-hosted email? Does that make any difference whether you're using a cloud or your own email server with Active Directory?
Well, you have to set up things differently because you have to identify who can send email on your behalf. But for example, two of the very common cloud providers are Office 365 and Google's Gmail or G Suite. We've created videos that are available publicly on how to set it up properly, how to set up DMARC properly to operate on either of those services.
And just to clarify, who can send email on your behalf includes your own employees?
Well, not on a person-by-person basis. It is what servers are allowed to send email.
But you would have to include your own server for your own people.
You would have to do that.
Yeah, so that's right. So then it would be unlikely that the government would have that many people on its behalf outside of its own servers and its own people. Okay, so what's the issue with these companies that are not these federal contractors? What's taking them so long since they're the ones that are probably offering their services to do it for the government?
It's interesting that DMARC deployment has lagged in the federal government. We've looked at a bunch of different places in the private sector, and deployment of DMARC is not where it ought to be. For example, we've looked at the information security vendors who attend the RSA conference. Somewhere around 500 vendors every year exhibit there. And we looked last year and we looked this year. But still, only about a quarter of the information security vendors that exhibited RSA have deployed DMARC in any capacity. And almost all of those, not all of them, but more than a majority of them are at the lowest level that doesn't block email at all. It only lets the sender know if someone is spoofing email for them. What's called P is equal to none. So that's about a quarter together. As I said before, the U.S. federal government on the civilian side is now up to about three quarters. So there's a vast delta in distinctions. I think the big problem is that a lot of the value from DMARC comes not from protecting yourself, although it does protect yourself. It protects your customers because what it means is that you don't capture all of the benefit. It means if you're a bank, for example, and you deploy DMARC, then your customers can't be spoofed. They can't be phished using a spoofing email using your brand, right? It helps protect your brand and it protects your customers. That's something that's easier for governments to understand because they're actually protecting their citizens. Sometimes it's a tougher sell in the private sector.
And how are you able to tell externally whether a company has DMARC in place at any level?
It's very simple. You have to let everybody in the world know if you've deployed DMARC because anybody who receives your email has got to know that. So you have to change records, some of your what are called DNS records, that are publicly exposed so that you tell everyone. And so it's a simple matter of taking a look at someone's DNS records to see if they've deployed DMARC.
So it's a good time to shame people into getting there.
It's less about shaming for me and more about putting a light on the value of deploying DMARC and saying, you know, people need to step up. People need to be as good as government.
Phil Reitinger is president and CEO of the Global Cyber Alliance and former cybersecurity chief at the Homeland Security Department. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview plus a link to the DMARC report at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.